knows that there's a big difference between being rescued and stepping into what's actually been promised. See, we know that Israel was rescued from Egypt, but the rescue didn't stop there. They weren't just rescued to wander and just endlessly walk around. No, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt so he could bring them into something better. A home that was promised to Abraham years and years and years prior to that. Into a future and into a life with purpose and with promise. And so there's something about being rescued, right? Coming into relationship with Jesus, stepping in to his grace, receiving his forgiveness, his mercy in our life. But then there's another step of stepping into what he has us called and marked to do for his kingdom. Silence. See, we don't just rest in the place of rescue. We're to step in to what he has us called for. See, he has a promise for us, but it's our responsibility to reach out and grab that promise. If we're under the assumption that he's just going to pile good and good and more good upon us because we're in relationship with him, my seasoned saints will tell you that's just not how it works. Life is not perfect when we step into relationship with Jesus. It is hard. We will face challenges. We will walk through things that we never thought we could walk through. But the promise is eternity with him, and that far surpasses any good that we could experience here. But it's our responsibility to step into that life of purpose and promise. Even after all the battles were fought, Israel still had to take hold. They still had to reach out and say, this is ours. This is what the Lord has promised us. And there's a lot of people that live the same way where we've been saved. Sorry, this is going to go off the screen for a minute here because technology is so good. My iPad quit scrolling. There we go. A lot of people live the same way. You've been saved, no doubt. You've experienced God's goodness and you've experienced grace and forgiveness of your sins. You've been made new because we know that Jesus has already won the victory. Is this not what we just partook in the Lord's Supper? We understand that he's already won the victory and there's a day when he comes to finalize everything. But maybe today you're not living in everything that the Lord has made available to you. Maybe you're not walking where he wants you to walk because you're unsure of what that looks like. Yeah, he brought you out of Egypt, but why haven't you settled into the promise that he gave you? Why aren't you walking in what he has made available? We've all been rescued. But we're not living like we're established in his name. And that's what today is really all about, inheriting the promise. It's about stepping into what is already yours. See, Joshua chapters 13 and 21, you can go read those this afternoon if you want context. I didn't figure it would be good for me to read all of those chapters in front of you this morning. That would take a really long time and I would lose each of you. But it covers a lot of ground, literally. Go read it. They cover a lot of ground. The battles have all been won. Jericho, the walls have fallen. Ai, the five kings, have all been taken care of. And now it's time to divide up the land. They are at the point that all the battles are done, and now it's time to start handing it out to each of the tribes of Israel. And this is where they stop fighting, and they start settling. They start walking and inheriting the promise that the Lord has for them. And this is the moment where everything God said would happen starts happening. This is a promise that he laid out. He gave this promise back with Abraham, and now it's being fulfilled right before them. It might not feel as exciting as marching or shouting or worshiping until walls fall, but this part, would you know, is just as important. That fighting the battle is just as important as stepping into the promise that he has for you. And see, this is where they actually step into the life that God planned for them. This is the promise coming to fruition. And is what we see here today is they take ownership of what he already gave. And would you know that that's the part that we have to do? We have to take ownership over what he's already given us. We've already been given so much in Christ, but it's on us to step into it. Who knows that trials come? Who knows that temptations come? Who knows that challenges are faced in our response? So it is on us to step into it, not just to be saved, but to live like we're saved, to grow into it, to walk in it. And this is the part of the story that we're getting ready to read here, is about claiming what has already been named as ours. The Lord named it years and years prior to that Israel, this is the promised land. This is what I am giving you. And Joshua sums it up here in a few short verses that actually says a whole lot to us. After all the waiting, after all the wandering, after all the battles, this is how the story sounds when God finishes what he started. He brings it to completion. His promises do not fall short. Let's read it together, and I hope you had your Bible. I gave out a lot of chocolate this morning, so that's really encouraging. Bring your Bibles again next week, and there's a good chance there'll be more chocolate to hand out to you next week. But let's get into that this morning. Verses 43 through 45. What? Okay. I didn't say it. She did. There's chocolate back there. If you didn't get, listen, just take some chocolate. Just take some chocolate. Nicole brought her Bible. Everybody, round of applause. Make sure you get your chocolate if you didn't. Obviously, I can't stand at the door when I'm up on stage, but I am encouraged to see all the Bibles coming in. I know it's not just about bringing your Bible for chocolate, but I've explained this before, and I'll explain it again. The more I can encourage you to carry your Bible and bring your Bible, the more often you're going to look to your Bible when the answers you need in life, and you're going to turn to it because it's right there with you. And so get in the habit of bringing your Bible with you, carry it with you. Can I suggest that you even take it to work with you? Have the Word of God present with you at all times. And when things come up that need answers, you turn to this. Let's get into it. Joshua chapter 21, verses, I put 32. It's actually 42 or 43 through 45. I wanted to read more this morning, but we're going to go 43 through 45. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say pieces. It says the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises of the Lord had made that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. See, when you read something like that, I believe it's important for us to pause and to think about everything that we just read. God did it all. Everything he promised, he did. Everything he said he would do was fulfilled. Every promise kept. Not one thing that he said was left hanging in the balance. It was completed. Because that's who the Lord is. And I think it's important that we understand that that is life-changing for us to understand that the Lord sees about his promises. Because if he was faithful then, guess what? He is still faithful now. He's still faithful today. And if he's still faithful today, if that is true to us, then here's what we need to understand. If you have your notepads out, get them out. Let's start taking notes as we go through our points. Here's the first thing that we need to understand if this holds true to us today. God finishes what he starts. God finishes. He brings to completion everything that he starts. Joshua says it like this. God gave the land, they took it. They settled in it. And not one word of his promise failed. And I need you to understand how not small that is today. How many of you have ever faced a broken promise? Every hand should be raised. There's not one person who has at some point in their life been promised something and has had that promise broken. When the Lord promises, it's not a maybe. And the evidence would suggest to us that it's a rock solid proof that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. He's going to bring it to completion. He always finishes what he starts. And I know right now what we're talking about is Israel getting the land and stepping into their inheritance. But listen, this truth isn't just about geography. This truth isn't just about the ground that they're walking on. No, the bigger picture is that it points us to the character of God. And we said last week that he is the same when, yesterday, today, and when? Tomorrow. And so if he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we need to understand that this is truth about God's character. That if he makes a promise, he's going to see it to completion. And in fact, if you were to look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says this. He said, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, yes, that particular verse is talking about salvation and spiritual growth. But it also tells us the same thing. It confirms to us who God is. Whether it's he's working in one heart, maybe you're here today without a relationship with Jesus. I pray right now that he is working on your heart, that he is speaking to you, that he is calling you to himself. Maybe he's working in several hearts in here today. But maybe he's working across generations, like he did with Israel. It was generations from the time that Abraham received the promise and Joshua took Israel in to claim that promise. It could be generations. God doesn't leave anything half done. Just because you don't see it come to fruition does not mean he is not working in it. God doesn't leave anything half done. He's not me, where you start one thing and you get distracted and you start another thing and then all of a sudden you're like, I didn't finish that one thing, and it's a week later. If he spoke it, he finishes it. If he speaks it, he sees it through. And if he spoke something over you, I need you to understand this. If he has spoken something over your life and you're like, why isn't this happening? Listen, he hasn't forgotten you. It's just not his timing. Sometimes that means we have to wait. So we see that the Lord is finishing what he started in Israel. He brought them into the land just like he said he would. And he's going to finish what he started in you too. It might be in your lifetime. It might be generations down the road. Don't give up. Don't give up. As a society that says we have to have everything now, we have to have it now, we want it our way, we want it now, just because we can't see it doesn't mean that his word fails. Because we know that his word never fails. We have all the documented evidence we need to prove that. So if God said it, he's going to finish it. If God said it, he's going to finish it. If God finishes what he starts, then the next question is, what are we doing with what he's already given? What are we doing with what he's already given us? And this leads us to the second thing that I believe we need to hear today. We need to understand. You have to take hold of what is already yours. You have to take hold of what is already yours. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1 says it very plainly. There remains very much land to possess. Joshua is writing about all the land that they have to go and finish possessing. In other words, even though the Lord had already given the land to them, it was up to Israel to step into it. And at the start of chapter 31, they had not stepped into all of it yet. It was theirs, but they still had to go claim it. And that right there is a picture of how a lot of Christians live. They know that they have a promise. They know that Jesus has already won the victory. They know that the promises are already ours in him, through him. But if we're not walking in them, if we're not actively trying to go after them, we're missing out. We're going to miss. We have to go after the things that the Lord has called us to. And there's areas in your life, maybe. Maybe it's our peace, our purpose, it's our identity. Do you know that those are already settled in Christ Jesus? They're already settled. But until you take a hold of it, you're going to live like you're still stuck in the wilderness. Don't raise your hand, but who's in the wilderness this morning? The Lord doesn't desire for you to be stuck there. He wants you to walk into that promise, to claim what He has given you. In Colossians 2, verse 6, Paul says it this way: as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. We've received the promise of Christ. Are we going to walk in the promise of Christ? Each one of us, you didn't earn salvation. I did not earn salvation. There's nothing any of us could have done to ever earn salvation. The truth is we each received it. We received salvation. But now it's our job to walk in it. It's one thing to be in church on Sunday and say, I gave my heart to the Lord, and then the next thing you know, you're out doing things that are despicable before the Lord. You have to walk the salvation that you received. We have to grow in it. We have to live it out. And what is that? So what I'm trying to say here is that we have to possess what's already been given. We have to receive what the Lord has already given us. We have to receive that. Some of us maybe are waiting on God to do something. Maybe God is waiting for you to do something. Maybe God is waiting on you to take the first step. Maybe He's told you to do it, and now He's waiting to see when you're going to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. We're asking Him to give us things that He's already handed over. He's already done it. It's up to us that we've got to take hold of it, because He's already said it's ours. You can't walk in victory if you're sitting in neutral. You can't walk in victory if you're sitting in neutral. If you're just going to sit back and wait for the Lord to do everything for you, you have it wrong. You're going to miss. So yes, the land was Israel's, but they had to take a hold of it. And here's the thing. Who here can see that this wasn't just about Israel? It wasn't just about them right there in that moment. What they were stepping into impacts generations after them. Still today, and that brings us to the third point this morning. Your obedience opens the door for others. Your obedience opens the door for others. When the people of Israel crossed the Jordan River, think back to the second week of this series. When they crossed over the Jordan River, what did the Lord tell them to do? When they got to the other side with the altar, the Lord told them to do something that maybe we consider unusual, but He told them, I don't want you just to keep walking and keep going through. No, I want you to stop. And one man from each tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel are to go back into the middle of river, grab a rock, and then we're going to stack them on the bank. Why? As a reminder. As a reminder, because the next generation would need to know what God had done. The next generation needs to know what the Lord has done in your life. The Lord doesn't need anything. The Lord needs you to tell the next generation what He's done. I saved it. What He's done in your life. You need to set up those stones, because the next generation needs to know. Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, just a summary, when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean? To somebody who has no clue and they see those 12 stones and they weren't part of Israel at that time when they crossed, those stones have zero meaning, do they? But to somebody who walked it, those stones show the power of who God is. And so what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. In other words, here's what we need to be hearing. What God does in your life today is meant to speak to somebody else's life tomorrow. What the Lord has done in your life today is for you to speak to somebody else's life tomorrow. The ground that you take, the prayers that you pray, the freedom that you fight for, it's not about you. It is not about you. It's about the people coming behind you. And we're called to leave something behind that points others to the faithfulness of God. And so what that means is our obedience matters. Our obedience matters so much more than you know. It becomes a marker for your kids. It becomes a marker for your family, for your friends, and even people that you've never met. How cool would it be to someday be in heaven, stand behind or beside a total stranger before the throne of God, and they thank you for your faithfulness because what you did impacted A, impacted B, and eventually down to Z, it impacted and changed their life. What kind of inheritance are you leaving behind for the people around you? What are you leaving for your kids? What are you leaving for your family? I don't care about finances. There's a joke in my family. My grandpa could stretch a nickel further than any Dutch man could. Didn't matter how much money was in the bank, if a few nails or a whole rod of welding would be enough to fix it and make it last another 5 years, it's what we did. We sold some farmland, and if you're a farmer, you know how expensive land is, and so there's a lot of money sitting in the bank. My grandma made the joke that when he dies, he wants all the money to go with him because he's always pinched it so hard his whole life. So we made the joke, and this is long before Grandpa passed, but I made the joke, well, Grandma, you can do that. He'll feel better. Just write a check for the whole amount, throw it in the coffin. It'll never get cashed. Doesn't matter the money we leave behind. It matters what inheritance are we leaving to point others to Christ Jesus. Can I just submit to you that that's the only thing that matters? Show of hands, who here has a loved one that doesn't know Jesus? What inheritance are you leaving to point to them the faithfulness of God? The land that you claim today becomes someone else's inheritance tomorrow. The land that you claim today becomes someone else's inheritance tomorrow. Just like the people of Israel didn't claim land only for themselves. Yes, they were the first recipients of walking in to the promise that the Lord gave. But it was also for all the ones coming after them. Let's bring this home. Let's wrap all of this up here. Can we make this personal for a moment? Where have you settled short? Where have you settled short in your relationship with God? What promise has God already spoken to you, but you haven't stepped into it? Because you're afraid, you're scared, you don't want to do it, it means that your life's going to change. Whatever it is, what promise has God already spoken over you that you haven't stepped into? Is there a freedom that's available to you, but you're still living bound? Is there a calling that you've heard, but haven't responded to yet? Has there been peace that he has offered you, but you'd rather choose chaos because you don't think that you're worthy of his peace? Where is it today that you have settled short? Know this, that the land has already been given. Let me say it this way, Jesus has already made the way. Jesus has already made the way. Now it's on each of us to take hold of it, not by striving, not by working harder, simply by trusting. by trusting in his nature, and if he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we can trust him with full confidence that what he says will come to pass. It's not by earning, it's not by working harder, it's simply by walking in what he's already provided. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. This is not just about you today. It's not just about your feelings and the things that you're walking through right now. Just like Israel stepping into their inheritance, the ground that you take today sets the tone for those coming after you. The ground that you take today sets the tone for those who come after you. Your obedience creates space. It creates space for your family, your friends, your kids, your coworkers, for people that you don't even know yet. What you claim now becomes someone else's starting point later. Here's a whole lot of stories that have been finished. This is our starting point. What starting point do you leave for your family, for your kids? So church, let's be a people that don't stop at being rescued. Let's don't be a people that are happy with just being out of Egypt. Let's be a people who have stepped into the promise of God, who are living established, and people who are walking in everything that God has already given. And here's why this is important, because that's how we live out our mission. That's how we live out every single day, engaging our community for Jesus. We're not doing it by playing it safe, but that's real in life, isn't it? Sometimes we feel like we have to, and there's grace for that. But we need to live like the promise that we talk about is real and evident in our life. If his grace abounds, and I've received it freely, and he has saved me from all of my wicked ways, should I not live as though it were real? We should. We need to live with purpose, and we do that by trusting God to do what he said he would already do. So church, it's time to stop circling the edge. It's time to quit looking at it from a distance, and it's time that we take the land. It's time that we inherit the promise before us. If you would, stand to your feet this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, know this, today's your day. You don't have to wander anymore. That's the good news of the promise. The promise has already been made. The promise has already been paid. Jesus did the work. Your part is to say yes. This morning, if you've never stepped into a relationship with Jesus, or you have and you've walked away, if you want to step back into that promise, into his leading that he's already done for you, with every eye closed, every head bowed, would you just raise your hand right where you're at? Amen. I'm going to just keep speaking. If you feel so led, just raise your hand and put it back down. Romans 10:9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the promise. Is there anybody else who would say yes to Jesus today? Let's pray together. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Forgive me for all of my sins, ones that I know and ones that I don't. I know that your grace covers them all. Lord, I commit myself to you on this day for the rest of my life. Help me to step in the promise you have given me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, we had one person raise their hand this morning. I don't know. I would like to be in heaven just right now in this moment, because what you don't know is the Bible tells us that for every person who comes to repentance, there's a party that goes on in heaven for you, that the angels are having a party, and I think that they throw a better party than we could. And so, praise the Lord. Listen, for the one that raised your hand, if you don't have a Bible, connect with me. I will get you a Bible. And then it is your responsibility today to tell somebody that you gave your life to the Lord. You have to tell somebody that you gave your life to the Lord. Make it real today. Step into that promise. And for the rest of us here, listen, we have a moment of response before us. We have a moment of response that requires us to take a look. If you know that there's more ground to take in your life, come to the altar. If you've settled short, if you've delayed obedience, and you can start coming whenever I read something that speaks to you. If you've settled short, if you've delayed obedience, come to the altar. If you've been circling the edge, but you haven't stepped into that inheritance because you're not sure that you should, come to the altar. If you're ready to receive what God has already said is yours, come to the altar. Church, this morning it is our responsibility to come and take a step of faith. Come and meet Him in the place of promise. If you're hurting, come to the altar. If you're sick, and your body needs prayer, come to the altar. If you're just weary and you need to sit in His presence for a while, come to the altar. Don't wait for the perfect moment to come. There's nobody here who is going to judge you. Guess what? We've all been to the altar. This right now, this is your moment. The ground has already been given, and your decision today is whether or not you receive. And that invitation sits on the table waiting for you to come to the altar. So as we go into a time of worship, let me encourage you, come claim what's already been given to you. Come receive what He is offering to you. And if all else fails, just come to the altar and spend some time with the one who never fails to finish what He starts. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.